Every day, families with critically ill children face the unthinkable, being far from home while their child receives life-saving medical care. Ronald McDonald House Charities Bay Area steps in to ease this burden, providing no-cost housing, free meals, and comprehensive support services to families whose children are being treated at the Bay Area's leading children's hospitals, including Lucile Packard Children's Hospital Stanford and UCSF Benioff Children's Hospitals in San Francisco and Oakland. But we can't do it alone. Your support, through donations or volunteering, helps families stay close to each other and the expert care they need. Visit rmhcbayarea.org to learn how you can make a lasting impact.
The shot, he scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to Morning Tide on the Sharks Audio Network. Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Eklund keeps it in play, but it's all along the perimeter. There's McDavid stealing it. McDavid twists his way out of the zone with the puck. At least he's almost out. He headmans it out. Empty net, fed on the right. Here's Connor Brown. Score! Well, Connor McDavid's going to get 4 points, four assists in the game, which means that the superstar for the Oilers has 98 points on the season. So all he needed was this one game to get closer to 100. He has seven assists in the team's last two games. That one a goal by Connor Brown, an empty netter, and it comes at 19:34 of the period.
Yeah, we're gonna play hard to the end. That's for sure. You know, I said to our coaching staff after, you would never know we only have 20 wins. I think I give a lot of credit to our group. We're competing. A little slow start, but we got it going there. Had some good chances, good chance to tie it up. So I gotta give a lot of credit to the group. They're continuing to compete. They're not looking at the record. They just want to compete and play for each other. So that's something we can, you know, tip our cap to.
All right, what's happening, everybody? It is a Saturday morning, and the San Jose Sharks are coming off, once again, a hyper-competitive loss. It is a broken record scenario for San Jose, but it beats the alternative. If we look at their most recent games, a 3-2 loss to Calgary, an 8-7 overtime loss to Minnesota, and a 4-2, 3-2 plus an empty netter loss to the Oilers last night. That's three consecutive one goal or close losses. They have had so many of these games this year. It tells you how close and yet how far they are from being a competitive and playoff-bound team. On the one hand, yes, if they were just a smidge better in so many of these games, they would be in that playoff conversation. But it also tells you that they are consistently not good enough, and that is part of the reality that the Sharks are facing as they head into the offseason. But the goal for Ryan Warsowski's Sharks was to be a competitive team that did not quit throughout the entire year. And that has very much been the narrative for San Jose since game number one, even that being a game where they blew a 4-1 lead and ended up losing. But it does tell you that they have the ability to compete with very, very good teams, with average teams, with bad teams. They are in every single game. And again, if you compare that to so many of the blowout losses they had a year ago, the majority of this season has been, in my eyes, a success, because you look and see that they have developed Macklin Celebrini. You look and see that they have developed Will Smith, Shakir Mukmadulin, Colin Graf. You've seen time from Luca Cagnoni. You've seen time from Ethan Cardwell. You've seen Cam Lund. You've seen Patrick Giles. You've seen Zach Ostapchuk. You've seen more and more young players. You've seen Yaroslav Askarov for a short amount of the year, and I imagine next year he will be a part of that Sharks goalie rotation, probably the number one. I can't say for certain, but that's what I would imagine the scenario will be. But you know, the San Jose Sharks have been able to accomplish a lot this year in the midst of a lot of losing as well. And right now, as we head into the final stretch of the season, they are still sitting in a what I would consider a beneficial place for them in terms of being the team that likely ends up with the most amount of losses and the worst record in the NHL in terms of points. Right now, they are 5 points clear of where Chicago is right now. Both teams have played 79 games. The Sharks have 51 points. They currently have one more win than they did a year ago. And again, they have three games remaining. So, you know, for San Jose, I know some people are going to say, well, Ted, this is not, you know, the goal. But if you're going to be a bear, be a grizzly. So for the San Jose Sharks, if they're going to be bad, yeah, end up at the bottom of the standings once again and make sure that they have the greatest chance of getting one of these high-profile players, whether it is going to be a Schaefer or a Misa or a Higgins or a Martone. Whoever these players are going to be for San Jose, you're going to end up with a stud when you do get that top draft pick or whatever Mike Greer decides to do with it. I don't want to speak for him. He might have some decision to make about whether he wants to make a trade if they end up dropping a little bit. But, you know, the Sharks are giving themselves the greatest chance right now to walk away with the best possible player. And even though it's not a guarantee, I still think that, you know, they're going to maximize this season in terms of what they get out of it, be that a draft pick, be that player development, be that culture, be that experience, however you want to view it. I do think the Sharks are doing a great job of maximizing whatever happens next for San Jose. So I am very excited in that capacity. And I'm also very excited to see what happens next in terms of the offseason and in terms of, you know, what we're going to see with the amount of money that they're spending. There's a lot that has to happen for San Jose. But last night's game, I think that you saw what a superstar game-changing player looks like with consistency. And, you know, if Macklin Celebrini wants to become a superstar in this league, right now he has the potential to be a superstar in this league. But if he wants to become a superstar, he has to look at what Connor McDavid can do in any given game. And that's not fair, by the way, to compare somebody to Connor McDavid. Connor McDavid, I think when all is said and done, will likely be considered the greatest, one of the greatest, however you want to classify it, of all time. And you look at his overall ability, he's, you know, he's the LeBron James of the NHL. He's simply bigger, stronger, and faster. You know, you can't ask Macklin Celebrini to be bigger. You can't ask him to be faster. I mean, obviously he can work on, you know, being a more solid player in various capacities of his game, but he's not going to be Connor McDavid just because Connor McDavid is blessed with certain skill sets. However, there is a consistency to Connor McDavid's game that we can expect to see from Macklin Celebrini at some point. You know, Connor McDavid comes back from injury, has 3 assists 2 games ago against the Blues, has 4 assists last night for the Sharks. That's 7 points in 2 games. For Connor McDavid, you know, he just comes in and racks up points. Whether it's going to be goals, whether it's going to be assists, he changes every single game. For Macklin Celebrini, we looked at that last game and what he did against Minnesota with a hat trick and 2 assists. That's a 5-point game. He changed that game. He broke that game. He changed it for San Jose. That's a dynamic, game-changing player. Not to be repetitive, but these are the things we talk about when we talk about Connor McDavid, and that was that performance the other night we saw from Macklin Celebrini, and also with the 1 goal and 3 assists from Will Smith, that was an aspect of that game that we saw as well. We make the comparison of Connor McDavid and, you know, Leon Draisaitl, or we make, you know, the comparison to Messier and Gretzky, or, you know, you go down the list and talk about, you know, Marleau and Thornton. There's so many different comparisons that you can make in terms of duos of great players, and they didn't have Draisaitl out there on the ice last night, you know, for the Oilers. So you saw Connor McDavid change a game in which he was playing. You saw him change the dynamic. That is what you need to see from a Macklin Celebrini consistently. That is what you need to see from a Will Smith consistently. And hopefully, you know, the other Sharks players that are going to be coming up throughout the draft, whether it's going to be a Quentin Musty, whether it is going to be a Sam Dickinson, whether it's going to be an Igor Chernyshov, whether it's going to be a Colin Graf, these are all things that you're looking for from San Jose in the future to be able to develop these players and have them perform at an exceptionally high level. And I think that these players do have the potential to do so. And I think that you're going to be very excited about what these players all turn into. But right now you are still at the point where you're only seeing just, you know, the scratches at the surface. Next year, I do think we're going to see more and more of these young players coming up and getting the opportunity at the NHL level, but it still means that their game has a lot to go through. I mean, yes, right now we are seeing the end result of Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith. And yes, it took them a while to turn into these players, but, you know, they turned into the player after time. You know, next year you're going to be waiting to see what more that these players in Quentin Musty, you know, an Igor Chernyshov, maybe a Sam Dickinson can do. And that's exciting. Of course you want to see what these players can turn into, but it does take time. You shouldn't expect them to hit the ground running in game number one, or maybe they start off with the, you know, the Barracuda and then they eventually move up with San Jose. I don't know. We'll have to see what these players look like in training camp. We'll have to see what they prove themselves as when we get to that point of the year. But you know, the fact is San Jose has done a good job developing players. They've got talent on the way. They have a lot of money to spend in free agency just to get to the salary cap floor. And one way or another, the Sharks are going to be more talented next year. And again, with the culture changes they've shown this year, with everything that they've been through, you would hope that they have a better team out there on the ice with consistency. But, you know, what Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith have to look at in a lot of these games, whether it's going to be a Kaprizov, whether it's going to be a McDavid, whether they've gone against, you know, some of the great teams in the NHL this year, is look at the way that the big name players have consistently changed the game. That is the next level. And we've seen Will Smith and Macklin Celebrini do it at points this year. But the next step for them is to do it on a consistent basis. And they look like they have that ability. I'm not trying to say that, you know, point at both of them and say, they're not Connor McDavid. They're not Connor. No one is Connor McDavid. And again, that's not a fair comparison to make. What you are making the comparison to is that if you want to be that franchise-defining player, duo of players, there has to be a greater level of consistency across the entirety of the season. You know, Macklin Celebrini, until that five-point game, had gone since March 15th without scoring a goal. That can't be part of his narrative unless he's getting 3 and 4 assists every night, you know, or multi-point games every night. You know, you look at what Nathan MacKinnon can do in any given game. You look at what you've seen Alex Ovechkin and Sidney Crosby. And again, we're talking about some of the greats of all time, but the greats of all time compete for Stanley Cups. I mean, we used to watch Joe Thornton do this all the time. We used to watch Pavelski do this all the time. We used to watch Logan Couture do this all the time. We used to watch Eric Carlson. We used to watch Brent Burns. The level of consistency to their game was a dynamic, changing aspect for San Jose. Superstars change games. Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith have the ability to change games. There's no denying that. It's the level of consistency that they need to take a step forward with. And that's what's next for San Jose. And then, you know, as we see the development of these other young players, you hope that they will have that ability as well. All right, let's take a look at some of these highlights from last night's game. Obviously, it was a loss for San Jose. Too often they were in the box last night, and I didn't love a lot of the calls that they were getting against them. And Ryan Warsofsky even spoke to that after the game, saying that they've earned the respect of other teams in the league, but maybe not the officials, which essentially is a nice way of saying the officials are saying, you're not good enough to get these calls not called against you or get them in your favor, which is part of the reality in the NHL. But it was Bouchard who gave Edmonton a 1-0 lead on the power play early.
Off the faceoff, Edmonton on the power play setting up. Here's Bouchard slapping it. Score! So the Oilers win the faceoff. Bouchard backskates and just exchanges with McDavid. And one-timed one from 60 feet out that got by Romanov through some traffic. It's 1-0 Edmonton. That deadly power play stepping up for the Oilers.
So that made it 1-0, 6:47 into the first period, in which the overall control of the game was completely in hand of Edmonton, and you were worried about where this game was going to go. And then former San Jose Shark Ty Emberson got his first goal of the year at 15:41 of the first to make it a 2-0 game. And then at the 17:13 mark of the first period, Will Smith got his 19th of the year, assisted by Nikolai Kovalenko. A great play where Macklin Celebrini went deep, caused the turnover, and then Nikolai Kovalenko rushes over to the puck and drops it inside for Will Smith, who made an absolute snipe of a shot to get the Sharks back into this game.
Celebrini pushes it out to Smith, to the red line. Fires on the left side. He had Celebrini breaking down the wing. Celebrini putting Bouchard into the boards in the chase for the puck. Now Kovalenko to Smith. Smith shoots. Score! A snap of the puck for Will Smith. What a beautiful goal. And he extends his goal scoring streak to 4 straight games to get the Sharks on the board. It's 2-1 Edmonton.
Yeah, Will Smith just continues to get better and better as we get deeper into the year. And I know that there was some consternation about his game early in the season, but you know, the way he has just come on, he has had, you know, in the last 4 games, he has had 4 goals. 5 goals, because he had 1 against Seattle, 2 against Calgary, 1 against Minnesota, 1 against Edmonton. He's had assists. He's just been racking them up all over the place. I mean, Will Smith, again, looks like a player that's going to change things in the future. But again, you know, we look at what he was able to do last night. That was his 19th goal of the year, to go with his 27 assists. That is 46 points on the season. That is a huge rookie season for anyone in the NHL. And Will Smith, again, the way that he's played since January, the way that he continues to get better and better deeper into the year, it's a big opportunity for him to show what he's capable of. And again, it just shows what he is going to turn into as a player. Remember, he's only going to get better from here. That snipe of his vision, his overall ability to read the play, it's only going to get better. So Will Smith, I know that he didn't hit the ground running maybe the same way that Macklin Celebrini did, but as we've gotten deeper into the season, Will Smith has shown that he is a player for the future that everyone in the NHL is going to have to worry about. We get into the second period. The Sharks still trailing 2-1. Henry Thrun gets his third goal of the year, assisted by William Eklund, his 41st helper, and that makes it a tie game, 2s.
Here's Eklund moving in deep to the corner, tries to send it toward the net, went off an Oilers stick, but Eklund's there first, spins on the right board, shoots one, pad save made by Pickard, rebound, Thrun keeps it, shoots, tip, score! Henry Thrun just sent it toward the net from the left wing boards, it went off of traffic in front, and the Sharks have tied this game 2-2 at 5:44 of the second period.
And considering the Sharks were down 2-0 in that game and how much Edmonton had dominated the first period, that was a big moment for San Jose because it was really indicative of just how much the culture has changed for these Sharks and the way they've been able to fight their way back into games, because there's no guarantee, right? Like, you're down 2-0 to Edmonton on the road late in the year. They're playing to clinch a playoff spot and you are just not running out the clock, but trying to get through the end of the season cleanly. The motivation is different. The overall dynamic is different. And yet San Jose fights their way back into this game. And it would be a hard-fought battle. I mean, San Jose would continue to fight and fight and fight. Corey Perry, yeah, the ageless one, scores his 17th of the year off a power play to give Edmonton a 3-2 lead at the 7:32 mark. And that point on, San Jose would not be able to find the back of the net. They kept trying. They kept fighting. But again, it's just a different level team. You know, Edmonton was in the 7th game of the Stanley Cup final last year. They've got Connor McDavid, who, yes, even though that team is missing a lot of players last night, Edmonton is still a just absolute bear of a team to take on. And then they ended up adding that empty netter at the 19:34 mark to take a 4-2 lead.
Eklund keeps it in play, but it's all along the perimeter. There's McDavid stealing it. McDavid twists his way out of the zone with the puck. At least he's almost out. He headmans it out. Empty net. Fed on the right. Here's Connor Brown. Score! Well, Connor McDavid's going to get 4 points, 4 assists in the game, which means that the superstar for the Oilers has 98 points on the season. So all he needed was this one game to get closer to 100. He has 7 assists in the team's last 2 games. That one a goal by Connor Brown, an empty netter, and it comes at 19:34 of the period.
So yet another close one goal or one plus an empty netter loss for San Jose. It has been the definition of their season. They've had so many opportunities in which they've been close, but have come up short. So for San Jose, it's indicative of how far they have come, yet how far they have to go. And I am okay with that. I did not expect the Sharks this year to be great. I have been pleasantly surprised with the development of Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith and Colin Graf and Yaroslav Askarov. And these are names that a year ago, you know, were not part of the conversation. And this year they are. You know, we're talking about the future. We're talking about a more clear picture, as I've said, a crystallization of what the Sharks are building towards. Before, it was this nebulous idea of the future. Now you see it when you watch Macklin Celebrini, when you watch Will Smith, when you've seen Colin Graf, when you've seen Yaroslav Askarov, when you've seen Cam Lund, when you've seen all these high-level players and what they could potentially bring to the table. You've watched what they're capable of doing. And now it gives you a greater idea of what they're building towards and what Mike Greer and his staff are trying to put together here in San Jose. It doesn't happen overnight. And this doesn't mean the next year they're going to be in the Stanley Cup final. But again, this year has given you more and more of an idea of what the San Jose Sharks are building towards. And now that you have that idea, now that the players have that idea, now that the staff has the greater idea, I do believe that there will be a quote-unquote acceleration. That doesn't mean I think the Sharks are going to quote-unquote win free agency, as I say quote-unquote as many times as possible in a 30-second span, but I do think that the Sharks are going to try and bring in more established talent. I do think that they are going to bring up more young players who are going to be able to have a better time proving themselves and defining their game, but it's also just a process that takes time. I do expect there to be an acceleration, like I said, but still, that doesn't mean that suddenly they're going to be a world-beating team in the NHL. Maybe they will take a huge jump. I can't say that for sure, but it does take time. You know, once again, Anaheim is on the outside looking in. That is a very harsh reality of what it takes in the NHL. You know, once again, Detroit is on the outside looking in. Once again, Boston is on the outside looking in. Watch what's happened to Boston this year, right? Watch what has happened to the New York Rangers this year. On the outside looking in. But you do give a lot of credit to a team like Montreal, to a team like Ottawa, who have thrust themselves into the equation. And then you look at the West and the way that teams like St. Louis have asserted themselves, a way like Minnesota has asserted themselves. But then you saw a drop-off of a team like Vancouver. You saw a team that dropped off like Nashville. Every year there is change. Every year there are stories. Every year there are overall shifts in power in the NHL. And oftentimes we see them coming. I think if you told me a year ago that at the top of the Pacific you'd see Vegas, LA, and Edmonton, I would not be that surprised. I think if you told me that the Central would be the Avs and the Stars in Winnipeg, I would not be that surprised. So that tells you about the way things can go. There is a level of consistency. Established powers look like established powers, but on the margins, you do see a lot of change. And then you do see beyond the margin changes that no one saw coming, like Boston dropping the way they did. No one saw that. Nashville, after their offseason in the second half of last year, who saw them being the eighth or third from the bottom team in the West? I didn't see that coming. Maybe you did. You're a better man than I, but I did not see that coming. Let's get into some of this post-game reaction from head coach Ryan Warsowski. He was talked about the idea of corralling or containing Connor McDavid, of which point he said, yeah, good luck with that.
Well, it's not easy. I think every team has a problem with it. But obviously you get to defend him with five guys. You know, he got going there in the third a couple times. But again, if you put a team in the power play five times, doesn't matter if it's McDavid or anyone else in the league, they're going to make you pay, and that's what happened tonight.
Yeah, the penalties were an issue, no doubt about it. Even though, like I said, I did not love all of those calls, they were definitely a consistent part of what happened in the game. And for San Jose, they have got to figure out how to get more of these, you know, cheap stick penalties out of their game, of which I understand, you know, you're tired at this point of the year, you're going to be reaching, you're trying to make something happen. But against a team that has Connor McDavid, they're going to make you pay. They're going to make you hurt. They're going to make you have difficulty all throughout the game. And that is part of the way that this narrative played out. The Sharks gave up a couple of power play goals. They lost by a couple of goals when all is said and done. Is that the only difference in this game? No. Is it a major difference in this game? I would say yes. The first period was dominated by Edmonton. San Jose showed a great level of correction in the second period. Ryan Warsowski talked about what the team was able to correct in that second frame.
Yeah, breakout execution was way better. Support on a puck out of, you know, D-zone, out of D-zone coverage, and we were creating loose pucks, and then we were supporting it, and we were getting out of our own a lot cleaner. That was a big thing.
Breaking the puck out cleanly, executing your breakout, controlling the puck through the neutral zone, getting zone entry. You do that consistently. You don't give it up in the neutral zone to Edmonton. You're going to have more success. The first period was dominated. San Jose could not get any sort of offensive possession early on, and Edmonton made them pay for it. But in the second period, the Sharks played a much cleaner frame, and they were better overall. And that's something that, again, these lessons have to be learned the hard way for a young team like San Jose right now. You do things poorly, you get punished. But the thing I give credit to San Jose a lot this year is that when they've had these bad periods, they've been able to bounce back and have a correction. They've been able to bounce back and give themselves an opportunity. And that's something that I hope we see more of next year. Warzo was also asked about the return of Jan Ruda, who slotted back into the lineup for the first time since January after being out long-term with injury. Warsowski was happy with what he saw.
Thought Roots was really good. You know, I thought you wouldn't have thought he's been out, you know, since January. He played some big minutes. Even when we went down to 5D there for a little bit, he gives us some length on the back end. So I thought he was solid tonight.
That's the thing about these veteran defensemen. When they've been out for a while and they get in, they have the ability to just kind of slot back into place. We saw it with Mark-Edward Vlasic when he came back from injury earlier this year. Jan Ruda, once he slots back in. And of course, the Sharks are dealing with a lot of injuries on the back end right now and dealing with, you know, Mario Ferraro being out for the year with a broken ankle. And when you see a guy like Shakir Mukhmudulin being out for the remainder of the year, obviously you've got to have guys step up and be ready to go. And you give credit to Henry Thrun for stepping in and making a difference, but also for Jan Ruda, for him to get in last night and look like he hadn't really missed a beat. I thought that was a testament to how hard he has worked to get back into the lineup and just what he is is at this point of his career. He knows what it takes to get done in the NHL. He knows what his assignments are. He knows what he's being asked to do, and he can go out there and do it. And, you know, this is a Stanley Cup champion. This is a veteran who's been there and quote-unquote done that. Not the flashiest player, never has been or never will be, but still he has consistency. He has respect in the room. He knows how to get it done. Moving on with the post-game stuff, Warzo was also asked about the penalties, how they can keep those out of their game. He gave what I thought was a fairly insightful answer.
Yeah, I think a little bit of his using her legs instead of her getting in tough, you know, positioning with her bodies, you know, and having some focus and understanding of where our stick is, a couple high sticks, you know, and penalties are going to happen, and it's tough, you know. It's tough. I don't love the last call on Wemberg. You know, I've watched it a few times now. And when you give good teams on five times, you know, I think we've talked about it. I think we got respect back from our opponent. I don't know if we got rest from the rest of the league yet, officially wise.
You've got to be aware of where your stick is. You've got to keep your feet moving. You've got to have greater situational awareness. These are things that are part of the realities of a young, growing team in the NHL. But, you know, the final point he made about earning the respect of the opponents, but maybe not the officials in the NHL yet, there is a sense in all sports of where you're not good enough to get that call or not get that call. And the Sharks are at that point where they are, quote unquote, not good enough. And I think as they get deeper into this stage of where they are right now and they become more established and, you know, players like Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith become stars in the league and, you know, overall the Sharks become more of a force to deal with, that dynamic will change. The Sharks will or will not get the calls against them, or they'll have more calls go in their favor, I guess you could say. And maybe you can say, well, that's not how it's supposed to be. The game should be officiated cleanly. Yeah, it's professional sports. The better teams, the better players, the calls break their way. There is a level of respect that is earned. There is a level of just kind of reality that sets in when we're talking about these high-level teams and these high-level players. And yes, it's not perfect, but that's just how it goes. I mean, LeBron James gets the calls. Michael Jordan gets the calls. Connor McDavid gets the calls. You know, Sidney Crosby gets the calls. That's how it goes when you are a star. And the Sharks are not yet a team that's going to earn those calls from the officials, not yet. Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith look like stars in the making. There is a difference between being a star and being a star in the making, and hopefully the Sharks will get to that point sooner rather than later. Really good question came in at the end about yet another close loss, and Orsovsky was asked about, you know, what that says about his team, about how far away they are, but also how close they are.
Yeah, I see us, you know, we have some guys in positions, some young players especially, that are just growing and they're learning. And consistency, to play in this league, you need to be consistent. And when you have a young player just joining us or is just, you know, 18, 19, 20 years old, 22 years old, it's a lot on their plate. And it's not their fault. But the more you get experience doing it and being in these positions, the more and more comfortable you get. And that's how you grow as a player. And that's how we'll grow as a team. So, you know, I think we have an understanding. We know, like, we go into games trying to play 60 minutes. And, you know, I think right now we're just a play here and a play there that's costing us a game. And but I think we've made some big strides here individually and as a group.
And this goes back to something that we've said all throughout the season, is that it takes time. And yes, these young players who are 18, 19, 20, 22 years old are being tasked with a lot. But that is part of the process. And I think that what they have been tasked with at such an early age will allow them to develop into that much more complete of a player as we get deeper into this timeline. And even though, you know, you haven't seen as many wins as you would have liked, you have seen that continued development from William Eklund. You've seen that continued development from a Macklin Celebrini and a Will Smith. And even now you're watching players like Henry Thrun look better. Cam Lund, throughout the short amount of time he's gotten, I think you can watch what he's been able to do. Zach Ostapchuk is another player who is not flashy, but I do like aspects of his game and think there is a lot to build on there. And again, I agree with Ryan Warsowski that the team has the understanding that they are going to compete all the way through to the end. And I know that there is a level of expectation that is there for every team in the NHL that you're going to compete all the way to the end. But when you are where the Sharks are, when you're not in over your head, but they know that every game it's going to take a very, very high level effort, a level of execution that's beyond what they can do at consistently to win. That's why they only have 20 wins out of 79 games. that's, you know, one of every four games they're going to win. The other 75% of the time, essentially, they're not going to be able to win a game. And I would not be surprised if they don't get another win this year, or maybe just one more. It's not going to be easy. But again, that tells you where San Jose is right now. It tells you how close they are. It also tells you how far they have to go. All right, we are just about out of time. Next up for San Jose, it's a back-to-back Sunday, 5 o'clock against Calgary right here on the Sharks Audio Network, 4:30 pregame, and then Monday, 7 o'clock at Vancouver, 6:30 pregame, again right here on the Sharks Audio Network. Then on Wednesday, we finish off the season hosting the Oilers, 7:30 from the tank, 7 o'clock pregame right here on the Sharks Audio Network. I will see you all on tomorrow, Sunday, as we get ready for Calgary on the buildup. That's all coming up as we get ready to close out the season. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.